Luke chapter 7, we'll start reading with verse 36. Luke 7 and 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with them began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider this event in the life of Jesus, Lord, open up the truth of the Scripture to us. Teach us what we need to learn, what we need to see. Help us, Lord, to grow close to you and stay there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know what kind of woman it was. It's the kind of woman that you see around town sometime. And they walk around and you can tell by their clothes, or lack of clothes, as the case may be. You can tell by their manner. You can tell what they're about. And you know that if you stop and roll down your window and say, Honey, do you want to have a party? Her answer is going to be yes. That's the kind of woman this woman was. This woman was a part of what they call the oldest profession. She was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And everybody could see that. And a good man like the Pharisee could see it. Why couldn't Jesus see it? That's the question he came up with. Why can't he see this? This is not the kind of woman a prophet would associate with. And for the Jews, they were not supposed to touch those people who were sinful in their occupation, in their lifestyle. And he certainly should not have permitted this woman to touch him, to kiss his feet, to put oil on him, ointment. No. What is wrong here? That's the woman. And This is not a friendly supper, by the way. You need to remember that. Jesus was not treated with respect here. Jesus was not treated the way you treat a guest. You know, we hopefully learn from our mother, probably, how to be nice to people, how to be hospitable to people when people come to your house. How should you treat them? And they had a way. They knew how to treat people. They knew how to show the proper kind of respect for people of good background. When they came in off the street, they'd been walking out there on the dusty road with their sandals on. Their feet were dirty, and they took off their sandals, as was proper in that place and time. And as they came on in, a good host or hostess would supply water for them to wash their feet so they would not track up the house. And Simon had not done that. Also, it was normal in that society and in that time that you give one of those kisses like you see sometimes in the movies and that the Europeans do. You know, that little fake thing. But at least you were to show the respect of this person who's, or for this person who was coming into your house. And you might even anoint their head with oil. You might put a little oil there to show your respect and your care for them and your love for them. Simon didn't do any of that for Jesus. He showed by his actions his level of contempt for Jesus. He didn't treat him even as you would just treat a regular person off the street. He actually was treating him in a very bad way, an unmannerly way. And he was letting Jesus know by his lack of action and his lack of welcome that, you know, I don't really consider you to be very important. I don't consider you to be anybody that I care about. Oh, the message was quite clear. But the woman had seen Jesus enter, we guess. She was on the street, after all. She was a street woman. And so she probably saw him go in. And this is an unusual thing. Now, of course, houses were different in those days. Going and coming would have been different, but it was still inside somebody else's house. But she yet took it upon herself to go in Simon's house, the Pharisee's house, and to start doing these actions that were described there. Why did she do that? Why was she crying? Well, the fact is, when we are confronted with the Savior, when we are confronted with God, our own sinfulness comes to our light, comes to our consciousness. The prophet Isaiah found this out when he had a vision of God on his throne. He fell down in worship and he said, "Holy, holy, holy." And then he said that he was a man of unclean lips. He was unworthy. He was unworthy, and the sight of God, the vision of God struck him, and his conscience convicted him of his sinfulness. And I don't doubt that that's what happened with this woman. She was a sinner. She knew all about sinful conduct and misliving. But she saw the Savior. She saw Jesus, and she was struck by his holiness, by his goodness, his righteousness. And she became immediately aware of her failures and shortcomings and sinfulness to the point that it made her cry, brought tears to her eyes, because she was convicted of her sinful condition. And she wanted to do something for this man. She wanted to do something for this God that was there. And so when he went on in the house, she came right along. And as he sat at the table And you know, in those days, you've seen the pictures and the things. They didn't sit at a table like we do with their feet under the table. No, they lay down on couches and ate with their head toward the table, kind of propped up on the couch. But that left their feet extended out behind them. And that's where that woman was. She was behind him. And his feet there at the couch on the end of it. And she was crying and her tears were falling on his feet. And she saw that they were striking the Savior's feet. And her sin was so and her conviction was so. She had long, beautiful hair, I'm sure, as the kind of woman she was. And she wiped those tears off with her hair, because she knew she was not worth and not worthy. She knew she was a bad woman. She understood that. Nobody, no doubt that she knew what she was and that she knew how people thought of her and how God had to view her as a sinful woman. And then the most precious thing this woman probably had was her ointment. And she took some of that and she put it on his feet. Now, this ointment, think about this for just a minute. We sometimes talk about cheap perfume, and maybe even associate that with that profession, being a harlot. This was her professional ointment. This was her professional use, so that she would supposedly be attractive to her men. She was anointing the Savior's feet with that stuff. And it was making his feet smell just like a cheap. How terrible. And he let her do it. And the Pharisee, and you see now exactly what's going on, because Simon, the Pharisee, saw this happening. And he said, aha, if he were a prophet, he'd know better. Because you see, a man of God, a prophet would never allow such a woman to touch him. It would never allow him to put her cheap perfume on him and smell him up like this. This was not acceptable behavior. This was not the right way. And Simon was, you see why he had invited Jesus to come? He wanted to test Jesus. He wanted to learn more about him, because Jesus was creating a lot of problems for them. He was creating a lot of disturbance in the community. He was going about, he was healing people and he was taking care of people and he was raising people from the dead and he was preaching the gospel to the people who needed to hear it and wanted to hear it. And he was pushing against the Pharisees and their group, because their religion was keeping the rules. All they tried to do and all they thought it took was just keep the rules, you'll be okay. And they set their rules down and they religiously, carefully followed them as carefully as they could. And their self-righteousness, their self-satisfaction grew until they assured themselves they were right with God. They were sure they were okay. It's these sinners that got a problem. And this man who seems to be and claims to be, and the people think, is a prophet. He doesn't even have enough spirituality to know that this woman is a bad woman. Now that he should not let her touch him. He's not a prophet. He's not real. Not as far as Simon was concerned. And so Jesus, knowing, of course, what he's thinking and what he's feeling, said, he answered Simon, which is unusual, because Simon had not said anything out loud to anybody. He kept quiet. He was thinking in his mind. He was thinking in himself. He said, this man doesn't know who is who and what's what. He's not really a prophet. But Jesus knew what he was thinking, and he answered him even though he hadn't actually spoken out loud. Simon, I've got something to say. Well, say on. You know, he wants to hear what this so-called prophet will say. And Jesus told a parable, which he did most of the time when he was trying to teach somebody something. He told a parable, and a creditor had two debtors. One owed a large amount of money, 500 pence. Penny being about a day's labor in those times. This was a year and a half of work, labor represented here. A large amount of money. And another debtor owed 50. Well, that's still a bad sum. I mean, that's a pretty good bit of money right there. But it was doable if you could perhaps think that you didn't owe so much when you only owed 50. But both of them were in the same condition. They couldn't pay. They couldn't pay their debt. And so they let it be known, and their creditor forgave both of them. And so Jesus asked the obvious question, Simon, who loves the creditor the most? Well, he said, I guess the one that was forgiven the most. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. That's the one that's forgiven the most loves him the most. And of course, the obvious truth is there. The same is true for us sinners. The thing, though, that we need to watch and we need to observe, both the people who owed the debt couldn't pay. Both of them were in the same shape. Both of them needed forgiveness. Now, one of them, 500 pence, that's a lot of money, obviously needed to be forgiven because he'd never pay that off. But the other one was just as bad because he couldn't pay his debt either. And you see the obvious application. Sinners all need forgiveness. Yes, this woman is a terrible sinner. Jesus said it. He knew. He said, this woman whose sins are many. He knew what she was. He knew all the terrible things that she had done, the terrible lifestyle that she lived. He understood that. He knew about it. But she needed forgiveness. Well, that's easy to see. Simon could see that. Surely she needs forgiveness. Yes. She's a great sinner. But Simon, here's the thing. You can't pay your debt either. Even though you only have a few sins, you can't pay it off. You're still a debtor. You still need forgiveness. And that is the case every time. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That little word, all, that's just a troubling word, isn't it? You know, it's just aggravating. All means all. Every last one. None accepted. All is just simply all. That means the woman walking the street, selling her body for a few pennies. Or it means the self-righteous religious leader who is held up in high regard by society, respected by his peers, a leader among the community. All includes him too. And I think sometimes this is one of the great troubling things about folks coming to Christ. Because as you talk to people, you more likely, or you very likely, will hit people. You'll find people, and they'll say, well, I'm not so bad. I don't do, and they'll give you a list, about four or five things. I don't do this or that or the other, whatever they got on their particular list that they want to tell you. They don't do that. And they think they're okay. Because I don't do that. I don't do the other. I hadn't murdered anybody. I hadn't robbed anybody. I hadn't committed adultery. I hadn't stolen anything. I'm okay. No, you're not, Simon. You are a sinner, just as much a sinner as this woman. You need forgiveness too. But see, it's so very hard for that kind of person to see that they need it too. Because they have built up their own mind, their own self-righteousness, and they feel like, I'm okay. I'm just fine. I don't need what Jesus is selling. But you do. You're just as lost, even though you're not a bank robber or a murderer, even though you have not committed adulteries, even though you have not stolen, even though you have not lied, you are still in that big old word, all. You have sinned. You need forgiveness. You're in the same shape. But because you have fooled yourself, you have tricked yourself, you have told yourself that you're okay, you think you're fine and that you don't need forgiveness. But you can't pay your debt off either. Nobody can. See, salvation is not something you earn. Bible's very clear about this. Salvation is not something you can be good enough to get, be good enough to earn. And that's a mistake, a common mistake among folks. If I keep the rules, if I go to church, whatever their rules are, and they're usually different with different people, if I do the right thing, if I love my mother, if I just leave them alone, I'm okay. I don't need your help. I don't need your Savior. I don't need the thing that you're trying to promote. But the fact of the matter is, you do need it. God said you do. And if you say you don't, you're calling God a liar. If you say, I don't need your salvation, you're exactly doing the worst thing you possibly could. You are saying to God, you are mistaken. You didn't need to send a Savior. You didn't need to die on the cross. You didn't need to provide the way of means of salvation. If you say you don't need it, you are directly opposing the very words of God. And you need it worse than anybody else because you don't have it. If you don't have it, you're out. And that's just the way it is. Simon, we don't know if Simon got it or not, if he understood. But the woman understood. You know, one of the interesting things I find as I read this passage, there is not one word recorded by the woman. She did not ask to be saved. She did not say, Lord, have mercy. She did not pray the sinner's prayer. She did not mention anything. There's no record of her saying a word. But the Savior knew her heart. Her repentance was shown in her tears. Her repentance was shown in her action. There was no doubt she was repenting of her sins. And Jesus addressed her directly. He said unto her, your sins are forgiven. Well, that set them off. Because undoubtedly, Simon the Pharisee probably had some of his friends with him also. Other Pharisees. The Pharisees were pretty good Bible students. They knew the scripture. And they knew that forgiveness is only something God can do. Man can't forgive. Man can't do anything about forgiveness. Man has to find forgiveness. Only God can forgive. And this case, these men, these Pharisees, these Bible students, they knew nobody can forgive but God. And for a person like Jesus to claim that he was forgiving somebody, he's claiming to be God. Yes, that's exactly what he's doing. This is a bold-faced claim. I have the ability, I have the authority, I have the power to forgive. And I forgive this woman. Wow. That sets it right out there in plain talk, doesn't it? And Simon knew that. That's why he would be worried. That's why he would be concerned. Who is this? Who dares say, only God can do this? And that's what Jesus was. He was God. And he had the authority to forgive that woman, just like he does today. He still has the same authority. He has the authority to forgive me and you and every person who repents. He will forgive. He says that. He promises that. You can be forgiven. He wants to forgive you. He said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Did that woman change her lifestyle? Oh, yes. I believe she did. I don't think she went back out there on the street to sell herself anymore. I believe she was changed. She was changed from within because the Savior had granted her salvation. The Savior had given her forgiveness. She couldn't find it anyplace else, and neither can we. That's the only place. He's the only one. Oh, there'll be people who will come along and they'll claim that they have the power. They'll claim that they have an answer. They'll claim that they can find a solution to the human problem, but it's not true. The only one is Jesus Christ. And we have to do the same thing that this woman did. Oh, we may not cry and wet his feet with our tears. We may not have hair long enough to wipe his feet. We may not be able to carry out these very actions, but our heart has to be in that place. Our heart has to be where that woman's heart was that day. It has to be broken for our sin. It has to be contrite. It has to be repentant. Not just a do-gooderism, not just a I'll do and turn over a new leaf thinking, but an actual change in here that makes you a different person from inside. Then there's change on the outside. And it won't happen until God changes, Jesus changes your heart and gives you a new one. And when he does that, it's a whole new world opened up for you and your relationship from then on to God will go on forever. Because you've entered into this relationship that is one of forgiveness. Jesus can do that for you. He wants to do it for you. If he calls you, if your heart is broken by your sin because you see the Savior, be like this woman. Admit it and let him save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and Call us unto yourself. Teach us your truths and your ways. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to do the things that you call us to do in Jesus' name. Amen.